Well, dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4. I'm reading verses 3 and 4, Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And our subject this morning is meeting the hunger of men. Well, we come this morning to these words before us in this verse, particularly verse 4. But this, of course, is part of a tremendous account, the account of the temptation of Christ. And we learn that right from the very first verse. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The Lord Jesus Christ is at the very beginning of his three-year ministry of teaching and preaching. And at the end of chapter 3, just by way of introduction, we read that he has just been baptized. And when he was baptized, verse 16 of chapter 3, he went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Before the Lord Jesus Christ preached and taught, he was baptized. And it was a tremendous baptism, of course, unlike any other. All three members of the Godhead are there. And well, we know that God is one. But we know also that within the one Godhead, there is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all three are shown here. And we have the Son, of course, who is being baptized. We have the Spirit of God descending like a dove. And we have the Father, the voice from heaven, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. All three persons of the Godhead, but of course Christ is the Son of God, the one who is equal with God the Father and equal with God the Spirit. We believe in the Trinity in this church, the triune God. But then immediately after that amazing scene, Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now there will be a trial. The devil will tempt the Lord. And of course, well, just by way of introduction again, we believe that there is a devil. There are some Christians who perhaps don't believe that there is a devil, that there is no such thing as Satan. But the Bible teaches us that there is. The same Bible that teaches us there's a God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The same Bible teaches us that there is a devil, that there is Satan. And so we believe everything that the Bible teaches us, and we believe that there is the devil, Satan, a fallen angel. I won't speak too much on the origin of Satan, but he's a fallen angel. He was once an angel of God, once worshipping God, and some believe, or there is reason to believe, that he was the one who was in charge of the worship, a worship leader, as it were, Satan. But he rebelled against God. He wanted to be greater than God. And he rebelled against God, and God cast him out of heaven. And now he is the enemy of God. He is the enemy of God and Christ and the Lord's people. And so here he is tempting the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he does. And this is how he is described. He's the tempter. Verse 3, when the tempter came to him. That is Satan's job, as it were. That is his delight, to tempt us to sin. And this is something, of course, that we have to be mindful of. And he has come to tempt the Lord in this account. The Lord Jesus Christ, he has been fasting in the wilderness, verse 2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. He's fasted. He's gone without food. He is preparing himself for his ministry. He's so focused on the work before him that he has forsaken eating. And now at the end of that time, he is, of course, very hungry. And so the tempter, the devil, comes to him and says, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. If thou be the Son of God. Now, Satan, the devil, knows that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Really, in the Greek, it should read, since you are the Son of God, not if. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. Satan knows that he's the Son of God. Really, it's since you are the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. So Satan knows that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And this is a great irony, because many people, many atheists that you speak to, they will contest this. They will say, Jesus is not the Son of God. He's just an ordinary man, just an ordinary prophet. But here you have Satan himself, the enemy of Christ. He knows he's the Son of God. He doesn't deny it. And so he says, since you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And this is the great temptation that faces the Lord Jesus Christ. But look at how he answers. His answer is so interesting. Verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And I would just like to spend a little bit of time, a brief time this morning, very simply thinking about these words and applying them. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In this response, the Lord Jesus Christ is making a distinction between earthly things and spiritual things. The things of this life, the things of this world, and the things that are spiritual, that are heavenly. That's the distinction. The bread, which is earthly, and the word of God, which is spiritual. That's the distinction. Well, of course, that distinction is made all the way throughout the Bible. That's one of the fundamental teachings of the Bible. There are things that are earthly and there are things that are spiritual. There's not just earthly things and that's it. There are earthly things and there are spiritual things. And the Lord Jesus Christ is making that distinction here. Bread is of the earth, but the word of God is spiritual. The word of God is from heaven. And this is why we value the word of God so much. It is from heaven. It's not the word of men. The Lord Jesus Christ is actually quoting Moses here from Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. And many people, of course, have that objection. The Bible is not the word of God. It's the word of men. But when Moses and the prophets spoke, they actually spoke that which God had given them to speak. They were not speaking their own words, their own opinions. They would always say, thus saith the Lord. It's not my own belief. It's not my own view on religion. This is what God says. Thus saith the Lord. And then they would speak. So this is being acknowledged here by the Lord Jesus Christ. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He knew that the scriptures were indeed the very word of God. And so this is the distinction that's being made. The bread of the earth and the word of God. Earthly, spiritual. Now, Satan, when he tempts us, Satan always wants us to choose the earthly things. He always wants us to choose the earthly things, not the spiritual things. He wants us to choose in life those things that will gratify the body, the physical things, the things that will please our bodily appetites. and our carnal desires. When Satan comes to tempt us, he wants us to choose that thing, not the spiritual thing. That's what he's doing here. He's coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying, make the stones into bread. Satisfy your body. Gratify the body. That is how Satan tempts us, not the spiritual thing. Forget about the spiritual things. Just eat. Use your power to gratify yourself, your physical, worldly desires. That is how Satan tempts us. And well, we see that influence in the world around us. This is how the rest of the world lives. The whole world, we read in the scriptures, is under the influence of the wicked one. Because the whole world, how does it live? It just wants to live for this life. Those things that satisfy the body and gratify our carnal desires. We're not interested, says the world, with spiritual things. We've got no time for that. We just want to live for the here and now. And that is the sign of a society, of a world that's under the influence of Satan. Because Satan always wants us to choose that way and forget the other way. And this is what he's doing here. This is how the world is under the influence of the wicked one. But how is it with us? We have to mention this. And I say us because Satan tempts Christians just as much, if not more, than unbelievers. Satan, well, if you want to read your Bible and set out to read your Bible, Satan will come up to you and say, oh, do something else. Go and watch a movie. That's far more entertaining. It's better for you. It's easier. Go and do that. And then perhaps we go and do that. We're being tempted of God. Sometimes when we want to come to the Lord's house on the Lord's day for a service, Satan will come to us and say, oh, it's too hard. Just stay at home. It's easier for your body. Just relax. This is how Satan tempts us. He always wants us to choose the physical ease and comfort and disregard the spiritual things. How is it with us? We have to be mindful because Satan always tempts us in this way. If he tempted Christ, he will tempt us, of course. And so this is the great example. But we must, of course, follow the other way. We follow the word of God because this is how a Christian is truly fed. How are Christians truly fed? It's by the word of God. This is food for the soul. For the soul. Again, there is that distinction even with us as human beings. There is the earthly side of us. We do have a physical body, yes. But then there is a spiritual side to us. We have a soul that God has given to us. That which is the real us, as it were, the real you. Your emotions, your character, your heart, your affections. There's the physical body, yes, the skin and the bone, but then there's the soul of you. And you know, it's the word of God that feeds the soul. When you read the word of God, when you pray, if you were able to see your soul, you would see how richly it is being fed when you do these things. And well, we are being fed when we come to church, when we gather together, even now, when we sing praises, when we worship God, we are feeding on the word of God. And this is, by the way, why we encourage people to come and attend the whole service. Come right from the very start, because then you get the full meal. You get the whole thing. Rather than coming in and only having a half a meal, as it were, sometimes we used to have people come right at the end. They're only really getting two or three mouthfuls. Come for the whole meal. You see, this is how I see it. When we gather here, it is as though God has created a meal for us, a meal, a feast for our souls. So we must come and eat. If one of your neighbors said, I've created a meal for you, you would go, you would make sure you're on time. You wouldn't go and just eat half of it or just two or three mouthfuls and then leave. That's very rude. But when we come here, God has created a feast for us this day to hear his word, to sing his praises. Come and have the whole meal. Come and have your soul fed richly by the word of God. This is what it is to truly feed on the word of God. And this is what we must do. Because, well, the world, the things of the world, they cannot fill you. This is the great deception of Satan. Satan always points to those things that gratify the body, the things of the earth, but they don't fill you. They don't satisfy your hunger. Every man and every woman, they have a hunger. Now, I'm not talking about food, the hunger that we have in our stomach, but every human being, they have a hunger for those things that they need. But it can only be filled by the word of God. Let me give you some examples. Every man, woman, and child, they want to know true joy. True joy in their lives. That's a hunger we all have. We all want to have that true joy. You know, it can only come from the word of God. The word of God, John 15:11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. That's where you get fullness of joy. Not in the world. You can try looking for it. But it's only the word of God that gives us true joy, full joy. Not a few mouthfuls. So many of us, well, we have a hunger for peace. Peace in our lives. If only we could be at peace, true rest. You know, it's only the word of God that gives you that true peace. Isaiah 26, verse 3, for example, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. We look to the Lord. We keep our mind fixed on the Lord. That's how we find peace, not on the world. You look at the world, you'll only find so many things to take away your peace. But you look to God. If your mind is stayed on him, well, then you will know that peace, that wonderful peace in your life. We all hunger for acceptance and love, true love, permanent love, faithful love. You know, you can only really find true love with the Lord. That's what we have in Christ. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts, a love that will never leave us. We all hunger for love. It's only in the word of God that we find these things. So we don't listen to Satan. Satan points us in the wrong direction, if I can put it that way. He points us in the wrong direction. It's like me, or it's like you coming to me saying, I need to buy some food, and I send you to a bookshop. You're not going to get any food there. Or somebody saying, Pastor, I'm very thirsty, and I send you to a clothes shop. You're not going to get any water there. That is what Satan does. He points you in the wrong place. Oh, you want joy? Go this way. It's the wrong place. You need to go back to the word of God. Are you heading in the wrong direction? Are you listening to the wrong person, to Satan? It's the word of God that we must hearken to. The word of God gives us power over sin. Dear friends, there are sins in our lives. Every single one of us, we have sinned against God. Some sins, well, we all have besetting sins. Sins that we can't control. Sins that enslave us. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's pride, covetousness, lying. How do we overcome sin? How do we overcome the temptation of Satan? It's the word of God. That's how the Lord Jesus Christ overcame the temptation of Satan. Every time, well, we haven't got time to go into the great detail, but three times Satan tempts the Lord Jesus Christ. How does he overcome? He just quotes scripture. That's how he overcomes Satan. Nothing spectacular, no light from the sky. No fire from heaven, no angels coming down, trying to wrestle with Satan. It's the word of God, the scriptures. That was what Christ used. Deuteronomy. Dear friends, if you want victory over sin in your life, it's only the word of God and obeying the word of God. Repentance and faith. Otherwise, while sin will always enslave you? Dear friends, you have that great need. And well, the word of God points us to life. Look at how life is mentioned here. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What is it to truly live? It's the word of God. I've been going to schools quite a lot recently. Some of you will know this. And I've been saying to them, as the Bibles have been handed out, you know, when I was a young person like they were, I wasted a lot of time reading all of these self-help books, all of these books that tell you how to have the best life, how to be happy, how to be influential, and so on. I wasted so much time reading those books when actually I should have read this book. If I wanted the best life for myself, life in all its fullness, it's this book. Because God is the source of all life. This is how we have life. Life has come from God. It proceeded from the mouth of God. This is how everything began. We read it in Genesis. God just spoke and life was there. Life, everything. All of life proceeds from the mouth of God. So if you want life, fullness of life, you have to cleave to the word of God. That is what it is to know true life and everlasting life. Not just ordinary life, eternal life in Christ. That's the best life. Again, I've been saying this to the youngsters. If you want to have the best life, if you imagine what the best life is, surely it's life that lasts forever. Everlasting life. Surely that's the best life you can have. Not a life 70 years and then it's over. The best life you can have, think of it, surely it's life that is eternal. And this is the life that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to us. This is the life that we need, dear friends. Death is our enemy. I know some people like to celebrate death and think there's nothing bad about death at all. But what does the scripture say? What does the word of God say? It says death is our enemy. And death is in the world. Well, we know this. Again, we haven't got time to go in detail. But why is death in the world? Because somebody gave in to the temptation of the devil. Because Adam and Eve, they were tempted of the devil. And then death came in. They disobeyed God. They took of the fruit of that tree. And death came in. But Christ has come to undo the work of the devil. He has come to save us. We, by listening to Satan, and all of us have sinned in the sight of God, we deserve death. But Christ has come that he may die for us. In his wonderful, everlasting love, I will come. I will die their death. I will take their punishment. That's how much I love my people. He is our substitute, our scapegoat. So there is no condemnation for us when we trust in Christ. He has taken it all upon himself because he loved us and he gave himself for us. That is the glorious gospel of grace. He has died in our place and we owe everything to him. So dear friends, we must turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. We must believe in him. And we must resist the temptation of the devil. I close with this. The devil, when he tempts us, he always has a hidden agenda. He had a hidden agenda here. It seems as though Satan is being nice and kind. Oh, the Lord Jesus, he is so hungry. Let me give him that which is good for him. Let me give him that which he needs. Satan always appears very kind and nice, giving us what we want. That's how he appears to us. That's how he tempts us. But you know, he's got a hidden agenda. All he wants is to separate us from God. All he wants is for us not to go to be with the Lord, not for us to spend forever with God. He wants us to die. He wants us to be cast off, to have a lost eternity. That's his hidden agenda. And so, dear friends, this is how the scriptures teach us of Satan. Satan was a murderer from the beginning. He's a murderer. He wants us to know death in all its fullness, not life, death in all its fullness. So this is my final question. Are you under the influence of a murderer? Somebody who wants you to die forever? Are you listening to him? Or are you under the influence of the Word of God? The Word of God which teaches us of Christ, Christ our Savior, Christ who loves us. Do you see your need of him? We all need him, every single one of us. There will be that day when we stand before God. We cannot evade it or avoid it. It's only Christ who will save us on that day. I believe in him, you can say. I am a sinner, yes, I know that. But I believe that Christ died for my sins. And now there is no condemnation for me. He's our only hope. Come under his influence. Come under the influence of the Word of God. See your need, and you will know this great victory that the Lord Jesus Christ had over the devil, over death, over hell. That will be yours, and you will be forever blessed. Well, may the Lord bless these things to us.